John Jacob Astor III was a very wealthy individual who was going to come out in support of Nikola Tesla. And as luck would have it, he was aboard the Titanic when it sank. Now, my contention is that that was a murder cloaked, or disguised, I should say, to look like a disaster, when in fact it was an assassination. And no one would investigate because, hell, you don't investigate a disaster, at least not as an assassination, or murder if you prefer. So, the newspaper reporter who badgered the captain to take a more northerly, risky route to get to New York quicker, and he promised the captain, "You'll get a full page spread in my newspaper for beating everybody's expectations of how quickly you can traverse the Atlantic." Oh, he got the full page spread all right, but not for that reason. Not for that reason. And then he got off the Titanic dressed as a woman in one of the lifeboats. Well, what good is all the money that you get paid for helping to murder a wealthy individual if you're not alive to spend it? So, you know, this is one of the reasons why I have a certain amount of trepidation over fulfilling this challenge myself. Why I'd rather have one of you guys or gals get in the act and throw your hat in the ring and take the risk of whatever the risk is upon your own shoulders instead of, why should I? You know, I'm busy promoting the thing. That's bad enough. Anywho, so it doesn't mean I don't believe in my product. Oh, I believe in it. You have no idea how close I come, and so many times thereof, to actually building it and wanting to. And then I'm thinking to myself, no, wait a second. Why would I want to do that? So I hate to disappoint you guys, but that's the reality of the situation. And I'm very cognizant of history. Let me give you another example. I'm full of examples. You know, when you study something, it's not enough to study it. You got to study the history behind it. And then you really get to find out all kinds of nitty-gritty stuff that you couldn't have imagined otherwise. There was slots put in the flywheel and the underside of the flywheel casing of the Model T Ford that Henry Ford was putting out. And he never told anybody what those slots were for. But General Motors was going to do a hostile takeover of Henry Ford, and he sent a letter back saying, "You do that, and I will tell the farmers what to do with their cow magnets." Because he had John Worley Keeley. If you know anything about inventors from the 1800s, you'd know the name Keeley. He designed that flywheel and the casing to accommodate cow magnets, so that if they're put in there and you bring the RPM of the flywheel up to a certain minimum, you can cut the engine and then just keep driving on the momentum of the flywheel itself. It's a principle of overunity, in that you have various factors of overunity to deal with. You've got the electrical factors of reactance, namely capacitance, inductance, and most importantly, frequency. Most importantly, because it's so overlooked. So all you had to do, because of the configuration of what was designed into that flywheel, if you put cow magnets in there on the slots, is that all you needed was a certain frequency of rotation, frequency of passage of the magnets against each other, that, and the space between, that would give you overunity sufficiently enough to keep driving. And, of course, nobody drove the Model T up a steep incline, I don't think. So it wasn't designed to carry too much load. But as a passenger vehicle, that's not bad. Well, General Motors backed down from their hostile takeover, and they took a different approach. They came out with a different model car every year. Same car, it just looks different. And it's got a new name, a new chassis covering, the same old everything else underneath it. And a different price, different color, different design. And they beat Henry Ford at his own game. Even though he invented the assembly line, he did not invent retooling. And that's what the General Motors got to be very good at, and now we have it to this day. All because of that hostile takeover that General Motors succeeded in executing against Henry Ford. So they didn't put Henry Ford completely out of business, but boy, did they take a chunk out of his consumer market share.
Really big, really big chunk,
really big bite. So it's these kinds. Oh, I'm sorry. There was a reason for this. There's more to this story. So a few decades pass along, and these two fellows figure out what the slots are for. They actually bothered to take apart the Model T. They're curious fellows. And they were going to go deliver their Model T, their modified Model T, to an audience to give a demonstration. And you know what? They never showed up. And their bodies were found on the side of the road, and the car was in the ditch. So it's these kinds of oh, and then we have the poisoning of Stanley Meyer. So it's these kinds of things that kind of make you wonder, competition is still alive and well. Yeah, I must say. Yeah, the free market, well, the free grub and claw free market system of the American dream is still in a healthy accord. And if you expect to upset the apple cart of the status quo, forget it. It's not going to happen. One way or another, you'll be forgotten, swept aside, or worse. I've been tolerated up until now, but you know what? I really am not. You have no idea how much war and rumors of wars have been over my brow. It's been going on for some time because this is kind of a life choice, you know, that I made early on in life, half a century ago, to be an activist, to be a rabble-rouser, truth-monger. Call me what you will, but I don't say things to please people, although it would be nice, but instead I get frowns and dour looks and worse. So I'm doing this to hopefully pass the baton to somebody else, you know, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It looks what's going to happen is that in the passage of time, we will grow into this gradually because that seems to be the only way the free market or the competition against it, the stiff competition against it, will allow it to occur in the sense that it will be allowed if it's not noticeable. If the growth into, and you know, just look at the social indicators. We're already doing renewables, and we're recycling. We just don't recycle power, reactive power, enough. And we don't extract it from our environment either. So it's, we got a ways to go. The slow pace we're going, we'll get there on our own without any help from me. And I'll be forgotten until I'm, well, I'm forgotten presently. I'll be remembered better when I'm dead, because then I won't be a threat, and then the competition will ease up and go, oh, whew, he's dead now. We don't have to worry about him actually building and promoting physical builds anymore. But while I'm alive, I have to stick to just talking theory and to hope to get you to understand my point of view. But how could you, really? You don't know my point of view, and that's tough. Conveying it by talking and demonstrating simulations is no duplication for my perspective and consciousness. But hey, I got to do something, right? Short of actually building one and showing it off in front of your face. Because I'd like to die peacefully of old age, you know, it would be nice.